three psalms. The first one is Psalm 88. O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you, turn your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength, I am set apart with the dead. Like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken me from my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness? Are your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend. Now you can hear the despair in that psalm. You can hear the anguish, the fact of feeling alone listed in that psalm. Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known throughout all generations. I will declare your love, that your love stands firm forever, that you establish your faithfulness in heaven itself. And going to Psalm 86, verse 7 verses. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. So why did I choose to read those three psalms? Well, one, like I said, is a sense of despair. Like everything is lost, completely messed up. It's over with. The other two, as you saw, they were more prayers or psalms that were being sung of hope and joy and trust in God. Has anybody noticed that we are in a series of calamities in the United States right now? Or maybe not directly in the states, but affecting the states. We're dealing with COVID-19, the variant. And as you saw from our prayer list earlier, there's a bunch of people that have battled it. Some of us here have battled COVID over the years. I know I had it back in January. The only good thing that came out of that at the time was I lost 11 pounds. The good thing, I guess, is I managed to recover from that completely. Well, but still, COVID is hitting everybody hard. It's taking lives. It is interrupting lives. It's causing people pain. You can understand the anguish as they deal with it. The Afghanistan situation. We have veterans, some of them are here, that served over there. And they served side by side with people that they thought they were going to bring freedom to their country for life. There's some frustration and anguish. There's a lot of people who think we should not have been there that long. Some people think we should stay there completely. But either way, it's a really terrible situation. And if you've got relatives or friends or service people serving over there right now, it is a highly dangerous and volatile situation. The underground church was flourishing there. Now, why is it underground? Well, what is Afghanistan as far as world religions go? It's a Muslim nation. So Muslims overall don't like Christians. So we had a good underground church going. And the reason why it was underground, again, was because you just can't flaunt it. But at least the government was not pursuing stamping it out. Everybody here knows that once we're completely out, those who do not like Christianity, you know what they're going to do to the underground church. Okay, we all know that. There's nothing new here. It happened in China when China fell. And, of course, it's been able to rebound some there. But you understand, it's a terrible situation. Also, at least 13 families have been notified of the loss of their loved ones. A lot of us think that was a needless loss. A lot of us think we should have gone in there with everything we got our people out. If we're going to come home, at least give them safety getting out of there. It's frustrating. It's angry, an angry situation. The COVID situation, I don't like what's going on there. Some of us are okay with wearing masks. Some of us are not okay with wearing masks. Some of us are okay with immunizations. Some of us are not okay with immunizations. Some of us think the government has got too much control there and we're losing freedom. Some of us think you should use your freedom more wisely and not affect other people. I mean, it's just dividing us. It's all over the place. And anytime our politicians can turn something into a political football, what are they going to do? All right, so anyway, that's a mess going on. Anybody notice what's going to happen to Louisiana and the Gulf Coast? And we're already hearing what? Katrina all over again. A lot of us have got friends down there. We got those of us who have close people down there. We're getting reports from Facebook and all those type things as they prepare for this. It's supposed to be a major hit. And this is not the first storm we've had this year. It's not the first major storm we've had in the last few years. But we're going to be dealing with the effects of it for quite a while. And somebody's going to get blamed for doing it. Everybody's going to get blamed. We're still dealing with the aftermath of all those severe storms, what, Tennessee and North Carolina? Still dealing with that. Now, that's just on a larger scale. Some of us have got death imminent in family members. Some of us have got family members that are really struggling with the latter stages of life, and we're having to be there for them as much as we can. We got loved ones that are sick, out of jobs, whatever it may be. We got these personal situations popping up in our lives. So I have a tendency, I don't know how you are, but I have a tendency to say, where are you, God? I have talked to you, and I have talked to you, and I have asked you about this. Why is this stuff still persisting? What is going on, God? Why? Anybody feel that way sometimes? I don't think it's wrong to cry out to God with your frustrations. I don't. If you think it's wrong, that's fine. But if you read the book of Job real carefully, Job expressed his frustration a lot. I mean, here was a righteous man who really, his friends all said, you must have done something terribly wrong for God to allow this to happen to you. And he says, no, I'm not turning my back on God. I don't know what I've done, but I've done something that's upset God. But he voices his frustration. Even at one point he said, God, it would have been better if you had let me die in my mother's womb than have me deal with what I'm dealing with. You think that's frustration? Wish you'd never lived? So all this is going on in our country. All this is going on in our personal lives. It's nothing new. It's happening to Bible people as well. So what do I want to look at Matthew for today? Well, take a look at Matthew chapter 8 with me. Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 23. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So Jesus is sleeping in the middle of a storm that's bothering his disciples in a major way. Okay? So he's asleep at the wheel as far as they're concerned. Over in Matthew chapter 14, picking up in verse 22, Matthew 14, verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into a boat, go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, I'm not a mariner, but I tell you, I can recognize that that isn't just one of these, okay, we just got a slight mild ripple on the water. When it says buffeted, you people that have been on the sea quite a bit, you understand that that's a force coming against you pretty good. Some of the other translations even use harder words to try to describe it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The book of John, near the end, get the last two chapters in the book of John. In the last two chapters there, he makes a statement, something along this lines. Many other things could have been written about Jesus. Many other things could have been said. You know, miracles, all kinds of things, all the stories. And the books of the earth could not contain all that we could have said. But he gets down to the key point when he says this. But what has been written? This little bit that I put in the book of John, the little bit that you find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, the rest of the Bible, the little bit you find, all of this has been written for one purpose. And that is that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that He is the One. All that's happening in your life, everything that's coming at you, everything that's going, everything should point you eventually to God, to Jesus. It should drive you to your knees and wanting to talk to Him. Everything should point there. John specifically said, we could have written a whole bunch, but what we have written is that you may know that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, in these two accounts that I've listed here for you, in both situations, a group of disciples who are, I'm pretty sure the strongest Navy guy, strongest Coast Guard guy, strongest guy that does fishing for a living, whatever. I'm pretty sure there's moments in your life when that sea terrified you. It was a, what's going to happen next moment? Am I going to survive this? Well, these 12 guys, a lot of them were fishermen. They'd been around for quite a while. They knew what to face on this sea. These are overwhelming them. And they have fear. They are afraid. They have concerns. Are we going to survive this? And even one case, they were worried about being drowned. They're doing the best they can to keep the boat afloat, keep whatever size boat it is going. They're doing the best they can as they know, and I'm pretty sure they're educating Matthew the tax collector on how to do things like that. So a lot's happening in a short amount of time. But overall, sooner or later, they reach a point of helplessness. Have you ever felt like you're just hopeless, helpless, nothing's in your control anymore? Have you ever felt that way? You just don't know what to do? You know? A woman who's being told that she's miscarried for the third time, does she feel overwhelmed? I would think so. Does a guy who went to work that morning and he was with plans, left the wife, kissing her on the cheek and says, "Hey, I'll see you tonight," and plans of what we're going to do on into the next year or two as we pay for things, and then you get the pink slip when you show up at work? Anybody, is that overwhelming? You thought you did a pretty good job raising the kids, and all of a sudden you get a phone call, and it's from the police, and the son or daughter, whoever, you just thought was perfect in every which way, you find out they did something that's going to affect the rest of their life in a negative way. Is that, how do you feel? I feel like the gut, been punched in the gut. Each one of you's got your own stories. Each one of you's got some story that you're aware of that you could share here of how it just ripped your heart. Something came at you hard and strong. These disciples right now, they're feeling this despair, this hopelessness, the overwhelmingness of it. But the story takes us to the main character in both ones. And that is who? Who's present in both stories? Jesus. Jesus is present. In the first one, where's he at? He's hanging out in the boat sleeping. He's not worried about the storm. He's not worried about things of life. He's the Son of God. He knows God's got everything. Now, I know it's got to be terrifying. And my name's Daniel. I think I've done a pretty good job talking to God and feeling strong in God, and all of a sudden I've been arrested and they're about to throw me into this big lion's den. I can smell the stench of the animals. I know that they're hungry. I can hear their roars. All I got to do is stop for a moment and pray to this foreign God or pray to this foreign God leader or whatever, and I can maybe survive. But what does he do? Stand strong in his faith, and he goes. The angel of the Lord shut the mouths of the lions. Now, he's not going to always deliver us like this, is he? But he delivered them that day. That's an example for us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've been invited to a roasting. You know, they're the main ones. And they said, look, we're not doing things that are contrary to God. You can do whatever you want to us. If you kill us, fine. We'll still be with God. If you don't kill us, we're still going to serve God. I don't care what you do. So they threw them in. And as they looked down, they could see that there was four in the midst of the fire. How many did they throw in? Three. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How come there's four there? Well, it's either the angel of the Lord or the Lord himself was with them. He delivered them. I wish I could tell you every time you're in the middle of a lousy crisis, in the middle of a situation, I wish I could tell you this is how God is going to deliver you. Stand strong. But I will tell you this, God will deliver you. He may not deliver you like you think it's going to happen, but He will bring you through it. He will allow you to persevere if you will stay strong with Him. Jesus was in the boat, and on the other situation, He comes walking to them on the water. He's coming to you. Either one, he's with you right there, and you just wait for Him. He'll wake up and handle the problem. Or just keep your eyes, here He comes. Either way, Jesus is going to solve your problems. Now, people can tell me that all day long. But in the middle of a crisis, I have a tendency not to look heavenward. I may ask God for help, but I have a tendency not to look for the answer in heaven. I have a tendency to look for the answer in self or in others. That's why it's so lonely, it's so despairing, it's so frustrating. Because no human being can deliver what God can deliver. Nobody can bring what God's going to bring to bear. You know? So I got to remember this. And I got to remember whether He comes walking on the water or whether He just wakes up and kind of rebukes me a little bit for not being more faithful. Either way, God is with me. Jesus is going to see me. Now the emphasis in each story is on faith. In chapter 8, verse 26, He said, you guys are lacking faith, basically. In Matthew 14, verses 27 and 31, you're basically lacking faith. So you got a choice. Fear of the situation or faith? Which one are you going to choose? You should always choose faith over fear. Choose God over your human ability. Choose God in every situation. Now again, if you're not a Christian right now, you're saying, hey, you guys sound pretty good about this stuff, but I got no idea what you're talking about. Those of us who have been Christian long enough, we know that God will deliver in each and every situation if we but look for His deliverance. I got to be careful that I don't put God in my box. God, this is who you are. This is what you're to do. This is how you are to handle my problems. I'll be over here waiting. You get it done. I got to be careful. Instead of putting put in that box, God in that box, I need to put God myself in God's box and let Him handle my situations. So, I don't know what's going to come of this Afghan situation. I don't know what's going to come of this COVID. I'm tired of dealing with all this COVID stuff for as long as we've done. But we're having, I mean, look at what the schools are dealing right now. Do you mask? Do you not mask? Do you have in person? Do you not have in person? I mean, nobody can please everybody. And most of the time, you don't please anybody anymore. But what are the schools supposed to do? How are they supposed to handle it? They got 1,000 critics. They need 1,000 cheerleaders. So let's be aware of that. What I don't agree with our current president on a lot of things. Most of you know probably that I did not cast my vote in his direction. But he is the president of the United States. I'm not praying for him to fail. I'm not wishing him to do such things that he causes much harm to America. I'm not praying for that just to spite him. What I'm praying that he will lead us to where we need to be as a nation, and that he will protect our troops, and that he will get everybody home safely. And I pray he will listen to wise counsel. I pray he will be on his knees every night talking to you and God. And I pray that he will also open up your Bible every day to learn what instructions that he should receive from you. I'm praying for him. I do not wish him to fail, because if he fails, we fail. Now, do I want some of his policies changed? They don't seem to be consistent with what my value base is, and they don't seem to be consistent with what I read in the Word of God. So yes, I want some of his policies changed. But in the meantime, he's the leader of our country, and I want him to get our troops home, if we're going to come home, get us home safely. But I don't have my complete trust in him or those that work for him, or any man. My trust is in God, and I'm asking God, God, please use whatever you got to do to solve this great problem and bring us all home. As far as this hurricane goes, it seems a few years ago, we blamed the president on Katrina. So I guess the right thing to do is every time there's a hurricane, you blame the current president, at least the response. So how do you prepare for a Cat 4 or Cat 5 hurricane when you live on the coast? Those of you that love beach cottages, I tell you, I like visiting them. I like for you to say, hey, come on down, have it for a week. I love that. But I don't want to own one. The sandbar has a tendency to shift, depending on the storm. They cut new inlets all the time. Levees break. So how do you prepare for something like that? Can you really blame somebody here on earth for all this stuff? But this stuff's coming, and we got to be able to stand up and help our fellow Americans as they deal with it. But it's coming, and it's frustrating. It's hard. And if I get the word tomorrow that one of my close relatives succumbs to COVID, that would break my heart dearly. It would break my heart dearly. And I would probably wish I had done certain things or not done certain things. That's just the way it's going to be. But either way, the timing of someone's passing is in whose hands? It's not mine. The Lord sets the time. So COVID, it irritates me to no end. I wish I could solve the problem. Do we do like some churches did over the last few weeks? At least two churches we know of canceled all their services and went online. I hated online strictly, didn't you? I'm so glad we can do this. I know some of us are stepping out on faith by being here today. And some of us will continue to step out on faith by doing that. And I'm not faulting anybody that's not here today because they're having to do what they think's best for them. But it does. I just wish this stuff would go away, Lord. Please, wake up and take this stuff away. Come over and get in our boat, God, and take this stuff away, please. But in the meantime, Lord, help me to understand everything will be done in your time. And I need to be patient as I wait for this. Well, storms in life will come, won't they? Storms in life will come. I'm expecting, I talk with my brother daily. I'm expecting, the call to come one day, and we'll have to make our plans for our Father's service. I'm expecting that to come. When it comes, it will not shake my foundation, but it will bother me to know that I've thought about it this way. At the old family table, there was Mom, there was Dad, Bob, me, Gail. Well, two are gone. Pretty soon, three will be gone. Just be me and Bob, if that's the way it's going to be. So I picture the family table dwindling down. Who will be next after that? I turn to God for strength in a situation like that. I've gotten the pink slip at work, and it drove me to my knees. I have been in a situation where both of us have been unemployed. And again, I cried out to my Lord, and I did like the psalmist saying, Lord, what have you done? Why have you done this? Why are you allowed this to happen? And then I realized years later, it was a path that I was on to bring me to this point in my time. You can go through all these lists as well as I can. The storms in life are going to come. You're going to feel like you're on your own at times. But no matter what the situation is, no matter what you're battling, no matter how difficult it may be, try to find Jesus. He may be in the boat right there with you, or he may be walking toward you to solve your problem. But if you look for Jesus, your problems will get taken care of. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? It sounds so simple. And to the skeptic, they're saying, oh, you Christians, you always say turn to Jesus. You always think he's the answer. He didn't answer me when I prayed, blah, blah, blah. Well, you got an answer, you just didn't get the answer you were looking for. So just keep turning to Jesus. All right, I don't want to beat this to death any further. I just want you to understand, there are storms out there right now, and a lot of people are dealing with some big, heavy stuff, and they need us to support them. But more importantly, they need us to make sure that they see our Lord, our Savior, our God, Jesus Christ. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you I could bring ministers in here from other denominations. I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus. As a believer, I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.